very, very serious subject. Very serious. Not so much questioning whether we're allowed to or not allowed to. It's a fact that adoptions are taking place, and for many people, it's giving them life. It's giving the parents life, and it's giving the children life. So the question, even though we spoke a little bit about the history of adoption, and when did that begin, and it's not really, we don't really have such an institution in the history of Klai Yisrael. We have the institution of Magadli Yosem B'Sarif Beiso, raising a child who was neglected, who was orphaned, but raising a child as an adopted child, as opposed to, meaning as a child, as somebody else's child in your home, as opposed to the modern institution, which was assuming the identity, reestablishing the identity of the child as your own, as if it's your own child, and that's something which halacha certainly is not comfortable with, and we'll speak about that. We'll speak about that at great length, mitzvah Hashem, next time. Maybe we'll get to a little bit today. What we began to discuss last time was the unusual question, just regarding the status of the child that's adopted. Is the child, according to halacha, seen as the actual son or daughter, ad kedei kach, that perhaps, as it was suggested, as it was raised in the Maharshak, in the Chachmas Shlomo, the beginning of Eben Ezra, which we read together, that perhaps one would even be mekayim the mitzvah of Purim, one perhaps one could even be fulfilled the mitzvah of having children by adopting a child. However, we saw that seems pretty difficult to say. It seems a little bit far fetched that one could be mekayim the mitzvah of Purim, although it would appear, according to the conclusion of the Chachmas Shlomo, that in the case that were, God forbid, there were children, someone's children had died. So under those circumstances, the fact that the family is continuing through that adopted child, perhaps there, the Chacham Shlomo says that all would agree that on some level it is considered your own child. But he doesn't really provide strong evidence for that. So we went from there into the question of, in Halacha, do we find that if a legal document is drawn up, where this adopted child is referred to as Bino, the child of so-and-so. We just had a question today, actually, in school, regarding a chasana, an upcoming chasana of a former student, where it seems we didn't really know this in her history, but it turns out that her father, her biological father, had abandoned her when she was 9 months old, and she was raised by her mother with this wonderful man, and it was kept from her, and the mother got nervous because she heard that there's things about the ksuba and stuff, so she got nervous. So she had a talk with him and said, "Listen, I have to tell you the truth that your father is not your father. This person who's raised you is not your father. And aside from all the emotional difficulties that's causing, the question of what to write in the ksuba, and can it be written on the ksuba that this is her father, when in fact it's not her biological father?" So we began learning inside the Tzitz Eliezer, which in the photostats, it's a little... The answer to that is that in consultation with some Gedolim, it was decided that we'd be able to write over there, not that it would have to be read in public that way, but to write on the Aksuba that this is the daughter of the name of the person, let's say Rabbi Avraham, who Hamagadla, who raised her as his own child. I was to say that, but I mean, you read the ksuba, the person who's reading the ksuba is not going to say it. She's going to say about Avraham, but really it says over there this child of Avraham who raised her as his own child. There was some question also regarding the actual name of her biological father. There wasn't as clear. It was a Russian name, and it wasn't clear whether he had a Hebrew name, and so after speaking to a number of people, it was decided to put the name of the adopting father, but to write over there that he raised her as his own child. But that's a stringency, perhaps it's not. This is what we're investigating, and it's true from the Tzitz Eliezer, which really will lead us into the next question. But this truth you have is on the second page. I told you the pages are out of order. The Tzitz Eliezer, we began with a psak of the Ramah. The psak of the Ramah is found on the right hand side, the next to last paragraph, where the Ramah, where he brings here, based upon Tshuva's Maimonides, he brings that based upon a Tshuva of the Rishonim, Pasak HaRamah and Chesha Mishpat, the Misha Magal Yosem B'Serech Beiso, the Kosel HaBishtar B'ni, Ahayosem Kosel HaMagadlo Ovi, Ahimi, Loi Mikri Mizuyif HaKosher, Hoyl v'gadluhu ro'i lichtov kach. We have a psak, a clear psak from the Rama, that in the event that somebody raised a yosem, an orphan, it doesn't have to be davke, although we'll see that there might be a difference in law whether the parents are alive or not. As somebody who raised an orphan in his house and wrote on a star, an illegal document, that this person is bini, my son, or that son who was adopted refers to the adopting parents as avi or imi, my father or mother. So the Rama paskens that's not mezuyif. It's not an invalid document. It's a valid document. It's not called a mezuyif since these people had raised him. Now that's not everybody agrees with that. Not everybody agrees with that. When you look at the bottom paragraph, where he writes, "Lamadam idivah haramasha tofas liyisoy the ikur timer shemaram barabaruch sheyochel likras lumutz beno v'chein hamumutz lamaametz avi umekaven shegadlohu." So it seems, based upon this Rama, that the reason that he could say my son, or he could write my father, is because that was the person who raised him. Well, l'chein, next column, l'chilek benim hamumutz hu ben ishto. So he doesn't make it, the Rama does not make a distinction whether or not it's the biological son of his wife. In other words, let's say this woman had a child and she married someone else, right? She married a second time. So this is the stepfather. So under those circumstances, that says, now, we can understand there's more of a svarah to say that it would be considered his child if it's her biological child, and he, in other words, this was not a child that was found on a doorstep, right? Or a child that was brought home from an agency. It's her child, right? And the husband, whatever, there's a divorce, or the husband passed away, and now there's a second gentleman that's raising this child. So there, the Tzitz Eliezer says that there would be more of a svara, more of a reason to allow that child to be called the son of that man. Why? Because of the principle in halacha, it's not just a romantic idea. The principle in halacha that ishto kegufo, that a wife is considered the person himself. So since it's her biological child and he's now married to her, there would be more of a svar to say that over here one could say that he's the man's child. But the Rama does not make distinction. The Rama does not say this. The Rama, it seems from the Rama, that even if the adopting father is, even if these are two people, and the child is a complete stranger to the family, he was brought in from somewhere to the family. It seems the Rama holds that under all circumstances, the adopting parents can call the adopted child bni, my child, my son.
But that's only the second option for a legal document saying it's not puzzle. It's not exactly giving it big time weight as far as other halachas or
applications. Right.
So it's not a puzzle document.
That's pretty big. That's considered to be pretty serious.
Wouldn't the second?
That's pretty serious. But you're right. It's not going to go much further than that.
Wouldn't the second husband have to make a declaration that he's in fact adopting him?
No, in halacha there is no such.
But for Yerusha.
Oh, we're gonna see. That's the last thing we're gonna talk about. Of all the questions that we have to talk about, the last thing is going to be regarding Yerusha. Right, that's a serious question regarding the inheritance, and how the law is affected in the inheritance. But it seems from here that based upon this Rama, the adopting parents can call him my son, and it has legal effect on a document. If you look at Oz Beis a little bit further down. So may Hamaram Baruch Varama Sosmud Rahim a Kosmu Bistama Mashmu Kharish Bakal Gavna Shahu. Bain Shiesh Lumumat Bonim Tivim or Bain Shainlo. And another thing it seems to Rama that Tzitz Eliezer says that it seems from the Rama, based upon that Shuva from the Ramar Baruch, it seems to Rama that it makes no difference whether or not the adopting parents have biological children, have their own children. It would seem to make no difference. Which is also a chiddush, which is also something interesting. After all, the man has his own. We'll see that this is going to be a problem in the question that we're going to be coming up to in a few minutes about adopting a Jewish child as opposed to a non-Jewish child. There are less complications, believe it or not, in adopting a non-Jewish child than adopting a Jewish child, a Jewish baby, and we'll see why in a few minutes. But here, the Tzitz Eliezer says that it seems from the Rama that there is no distinction, regardless of whether or not these people have their own biological children or not. This person, the adopted child, can be referred to as a son, as a daughter.
It just says yasam though, what is it?
So, yeah, therefore, it doesn't seem the Ramah does not make any distinction at all. That's why it would seem to be any type of a yasim, and it would not depend upon whether those people have any children who are alive. You know, they're adopting parents.
They have children.
Yeah, they have other children.
Not that the parents are left or gone.
No, he's going to talk about that also. That we're going to see in a few minutes. No, it means that there are other kids. There are other kids. However, this is not agreed upon necessarily. Not everybody agrees upon this. It's found in the Knesset Gedolah and Choshen Mishpat. The Shadab is a Naga because of a nearly Shein had the Varamurim Elikah Shein Lamagadal Bon. The Knesset Gedolah limits this Heter of the Ramah. The Knesset Gedolah says it, he limits it. The Knesset Gedolah says that no. In fact, the only time that this can be applied, that he can call this child, my son or my daughter, is when he does not have, when the adopting parents do not have their own children. But if they have their own children, that could cause confusion in halacha, in Yerusha, in the laws of inheritance, and it could also cause confusion in the relationships between the children, and halachas of marriage, and Gilui Arayis, and so on, and the relationships between the question of whether one is allowed to marry, whether they're allowed to marry each other, and so on. So the Knesset Gedolah limits the heter of the Ramah. He limits that heter, and he says, no, it's only permitted to call him my son or to call her my daughter when those are the only children. There are no living biological children. On the next page, he says it's Kuf Yud Beis. It sits on it might be the first page. Yeah. Yeah, the first page. All right, it says Oyes Gimel. Then it says that based upon this Knesset Gedolah, he says Kamochin Yesh this topic. Now, what happens if the adopted child, like happens often nowadays, where he has parents who are alive, his biological parents are living, just they're not capable of raising him, but they don't want to raise him. And he was given to an agency, but the parents are actually alive. So can he then be called? Can he be referred to this as my father, or could he be referred to as my son? So he says that this is a similar question. He says perhaps this is only referring to Rakshain Lama'amitz Harim Bechaim, Kamashamashim Lacharim Divarama, Shanakit Belosh and Yosim. And that's where Avi made a very good Hara. He made a very good point. The Ramah uses the word Yosim. The classic use of the word Yosim, God forbid, is an orphan that does not have living parents, not someone who was given up to an agency or who was neglected. So it's not clear. And that was the Ramah, right? I mean davke yosim, because you could think of a svara why it should not, that it would be a more of a mezuif, it would be more of an invalid document to say this is my father if he has a biological father who's living in the world. His biological father's alive. And aside from the fact that this could cause halakha problems as well, because somehow that biological father can get wind of this, and there could be a problem with ownership and the question of the legality of that shtar, and there could be claims made against the adopting parents and so on. There's a shtar that says bini, and has two witnesses on it, and it's hard to say what if the father has the same name as the adopting father, and so on. So this could be a problem. So the Sicilian says this might limit the use of that bini or bt or dilma. Or perhaps who? Then I feel like sheyesh laharim b'chaim. Or maybe the Tzitzelia says it's also. It was just as the usual case. The Ramah was talking about the usual situation as a yosim. But you know that in halacha, the word yosim does not necessarily mean that God forbid both the father and mother are dead. The word yosim is used even there's a term yosim and ha'av or yosim and ha'aim. It could mean that one of the parents is dead, or it could mean just that the Ramah was speaking about the usual situation. Historically, Jews did not give babies up. It wasn't a common thing for Jews to give when they were living with parents. Historically, unless there was a war and you just didn't know who they were, but usually Jews did not give up their children. So the word yosim doesn't mean davka an orphan. It can mean that we don't know the parents. So we don't know who the parents are. Al kapanim, let's look at the. If you look at the next column where it says the third paragraph, v'nila finas daiti, the Tzitzelius has a major problem with this whole business, and he says the following. V'nila finas daiti lahavi haychacha chotekes. Well, where did all this begin? All this began with the Gemara in Megillah and Sanhedrin that says that anybody who raises a yosim, anybody who raises an orphan in his house, is considered as if you gave birth to that person. And from there began this entire question, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's called your son, or she's called your daughter? So the Tzitzel says that from there, really, in his opinion, ain raya. Shenilma mizeh sheyocha lichtav alav ishtaris b'nai stam. You can't prove from that Gemara that you could write that this adopted child can be called a son or a daughter. Why? He says, Mishum dahag ba'atzmach. Our Rebbe Sanhedrin, over there in that same Gemara Sanhedrin, Amrina Nami, the kol ha-melamed is ben chaver Torah ma'ala levakosav kilu yoldo. There's another example right there in the same Gemara where a person is considered as if he had given birth to a child. What's that? If you teach somebody Torah, then it's considered as if you gave birth to the person. So the Tzitzel is, it says, it's in the same Gemara. Hachi noimar, gam b'melamed ben chaver Torah shiuch luchtav alav mishum kach b'shtaros b'shem b'ni stam. Could you imagine? You teach somebody Torah? So we've all learned Torah with other people. We'd have Kanayin Har. We'd have a big mishpacha. You could have dozens, if not hundreds, of people that would go under the title Bnei or BT. And not only that, it's in the same Gemara. It was the Gemara. Tzitzel says that the Gemara cannot be taken literally. It's telling you that you have a great reward. You're considered as if you raised the child. You're a wonderful person. But to say that it should have a din of being my son, so he says that it's very hard to bring a raya from there. Would you say on someone that you taught, if you taught him Torah, that on his star he could say my father because you're his rabbi? But star he kosher, and that star would be kosher because you're his rabbi, you're his teacher, therefore it should say my father. But get kazeh ye kosher, if a get would say such a thing, a divorce would say such a bill of divorce would say such a lashon, would be kosher. A shlai kosher get elavade da amr begemar sham the mile all of a kosher keilu yaldo, when it says as if he gave birth, who rakling in gardel has schar shebedover. It's only regarding the schar, the reward for having done that. What about the fact that the Ramah says that if it says bini, that it's a legitimate, that it's a legal star? He says that, so the Tzitzel is not disagreeing. Of course, the Ramah says that we're not arguing with the Ramah and the Psak of the Maran Barah Baruch. But what he's saying is that in a limited form, in other words, if there are no biological parents or if there are no other children, so under those circumstances, to put in the shtar that it should say bini, it's a little bit. I think it's what Avi was saying. Is that it's really not? It's not making a claim or a statement that it's the biological father, or that he has a din of the biological father. It's just that it's not considered a mizuv mitocho. It's only to the point that the star is not considered to be a puzzle star, that the document is not a puzzle document, because he's been raised in that house and he's seen as being that, and he's viewed upon as being a son. That would be enough to make it a kosher star. Would it be enough to call him up to the Torah by his adopting father's name? Would it be enough to write that name on a get, or to write the name on a ksuba? Would it be enough without specifying that it's an adopting parent? Would it be enough in terms of the laws of inheritance? What about the laws of kibud avim? We're going to talk about that. What about the laws of kibud avim? If honoring one's parents. So let's say there's a child that was adopted, and he doesn't want to honor his adopting parents. Is he violating the mitzvah of kibud avim? Is he violating the positive command to honor one's parents? Are those considered to be his parents? So we already have seen that this is, that the Tzitz Eliezer learns that this is, understands this Ramah in an extremely limited form as applying to the case of a shtar, and we'll see how later on this is affecting the halacha. What we're going to get to right now is the much bigger question. The question of the two situations of adopting a Jewish child as opposed to adopting a non-Jewish child. What are the milas and what are the chesronos of each?
Didn't we have this same quest a month ago? David was in the cave.
Right, with the father-in-law. With the father-in-law.
Okay.
It's not to be taken literally.
Rebbe, we call them his Rebbe up or something.
Right, exactly, right. So we came to the conclusion that although it's brought down by the poskim, it certainly is not a deraisa, and it's not to be taken literally. Right, similar idea, similar concept. So we have a tshuva here from Rav Moshe. There are a few tshuvas from Rav Moshe Feinstein that are really groundbreaking tshuvas in the subject. You have it in front of you where it says Igros Moshe. It's the first chelik of Yeridaya, Simon Kuf Samach Beis. Let me just preface this. We're going to read a couple of paragraphs, not the entire tshuva, although it's not so long. But Moshe's tshuvas are hard. You have it again. It's in the. It should say on it. It should say on it Simon Kuf Samach Beis. Binyan adopter and kinder. You have it. Adopter and kinder. With Moshe's old-fashioned Hebrew there, adopter and kinder. to adopt children, right? Let me just preface this a little bit with something that we have to know a little bit of background to Rav Moshe's tshuva. The Gemara Kedushin Lev Samech Tesh is found in the Rambam Hilchos Yisuri Bia in the 15th parak, and in the Shulchan Aruch Nevenezer Simen Zayin. There deals with the question of a child that was born of a Jewish woman, of a single Jewish woman, a single mother, which nowadays is almost equal in status to a married woman. More and more it sounds like it's completely normal. But in the time of Chazal it was considered to be extremely abnormal. So in the case where we have a single mother, a Jewish woman, and we don't know who the father is. This is discussed in the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. We don't know who the father is. According to Halacha, this child has a certain term. It's called a shtuki. The name of the child, we don't call him that, little shtuki, but you can call him whatever you like, but in Halacha, he's called a shtuki, which means that this child is a suffic mamzer. It's a terrible thing. The child is considered to be in the state of being possibly an illegitimate child. We can't say, vaday mamzer. We don't know who the biological father is, and therefore, according to Halacha, there is a chashash, and there's a very complicated discussion about why don't we apply the majority and so on, and what's going on. But there is a chashash, there is a fear that perhaps this woman became pregnant with this child by one of the forbidden arayas, by one of those people who, if she would have had this baby with, the baby would be considered to be illegitimate. Right? It would be considered to be illegitimate, even though she was never married. But there are a number of arayas, the number of forbidden people. It's not only mamzer is not only if a married woman has a child. There are other, if she has with one of the arayas, which there would be a chiyuv of karis. So that child would be considered to be a mamzer. So halacha has determined that if we don't know who the father is, we have a single mother, then the baby is a suffic mamzer, a shtuki, because we're not sure. It could be that she became pregnant from one of the arayas. And the Gaonim added to this later on. This, again, I'm not going to get into the whole Gemara. These are very complicated sugyas. So what do we do with that kid? Who could the kid marry? And so on. It's a complicated Indian. But the Gaonim said that in addition to the chashash, to the fear that she was mezana, that she had an incestuous relationship of some sort with a relative or one of the forbidden arayas, in addition to that, there's another chashash that he might end up marrying a chaysay min ha'av. A chaysay min ha'av means, which would create a problem of Suffolk mamzer, which means that he might end up marrying, since we don't know who his father is, he might end up marrying his father's, he might end up his aunt, right? His half sister. You're right, his half sister. Achaysim and hav. In other words, the father, his biological father, might have had a girl with somebody else, and this would be his half sister. So that's also a problem. So we don't, because this child, we don't know who the father is. He might end up married. Remember, they lived in villages, they lived in towns. He might end up married. People were pretty set in where they were living. They didn't move around like nowadays. There was a fear that there's a possibility that he might end up marrying his half sister, because his father might have had a daughter with somebody else. So that was later on added by the Gaonim.
Who was the guy in the rabbi in Switzerland after the war with Paschen and all these kids? There was a famous rabbi.
There were
Shilas on kids that were born.
There was Rav Breish. It was in Switzerland. There was Rav Breish, the Chalkas Yaakov, Rav Tshuva's Chalkas Yaakov. These are enormous Shilas in Halacha that literally affects the lives, the future of these people. And we're not going to come to the whole thing, but this is a problem when we have an Isha Pnuya. Interestingly enough, when we have a single woman that comes with a baby, who is this kid? Who is his father? So we have a problem of a shtuki of a sofik mamzer. It's much less complicated if we have two parents, two Jews who are married, and they come with a baby. Then it could be that she had the baby through somebody else, but we don't assume that. We assume even if they're not religious people, well, they might not be the most scrupulous people in the world. We assume that we follow Rov Bilos Achra Habal. That means we assume that even if she was a woman that might have been that might have been immoral in her behavior, might have slept with other people. Nevertheless, Rav Bilos Achra Habal. We assume that most of the relationships that she would have had were with her husband. They're coming together and they say, we don't want to take care of this baby. We don't want this baby. We give up this baby for adoption. Under those circumstances, the halacha has determined that that is not a suffik mamzer. We do not consider that child to be possibly illegitimate, but the child is considered to be a legitimate child. That's a safer situation. Now, keeping in mind these questions that we have regarding yichus, who is this baby? So we're going to see that adopting a baby that if there are two Jewish parents and we know the family, you know, we could trace the family to the Jewish parents, and it's a married couple, it's much less complicated. But in the cases, it's often takes place with agencies that there are single mothers that are giving babies. And if it's a Jewish mother that's giving over a baby, then we're presented with these big shilas, these big questions of the suffix and mamzerus. So now, with a little bit of this background, we could see Rav Moshe's hesitation and his anxiety over the whole issue. Okay, as you can see, this question was asked on the 23rd day of Menachem Av, Tavshin Yud Zayin, 1957. So he writes the letter back to his, he says, Yedidah Nachman Rav Baruch Sternfeld Shlit. Hine, Bidvar, let's look inside. We're just going to read the first two paragraphs right now. Hine, Bidvar, Inyan, Adapter and Kinder, regarding the question of adopting children. Ka'ifin Sha'isin Bimdina Zu, as it's done here, Bimdinazu, meaning in America, which again he had never seen this. Rav Moshe never saw this in Russia. This was not a practice to have agencies and to adopt children in the old country. So the way that it's done over here, Yesh inyan shelo tov b'shayalda Yisrael v'lay tov b'shayalda Nachum. He says, I have certain problems if it's a Jewish child that's being adopted, and I have other problems with it if it's a non-Jewish child. There are different issues with a Jewish baby or with a non-Jewish baby. And they're different, therefore they have to be discussed separately. So what we're going to do tonight is just a question of adopting a Jewish a baby that has a Jewish mother, a Jewish baby. Now this is the problem, he writes. We have to know, first of all, what's the status of the child? Does this child have a question? Is there any question of mamzerus? You know, like a baby that's found on your doorstep. We don't know who the father is. So there are questions of yichus, of mamzeiris. Therefore, he says, the havalachkar, that one must make an investigation, an inquiry, shem ha'em hi eishes ish, shahalach ba'alami mana, b'lai gat, kosher. Now, there's another problem, Rav Moshe says. She's presenting herself as a single mother, and she's coming with a baby. We don't know that for sure. Could be she was married. Could be that she was married, and that her husband... And that there was never a get, there was never a divorce, the husband ran away somewhere, and maybe she had a baby with somebody. Maybe she had a baby with some other man. And maybe she's nice as ish. So first of all, she says, okay, that could be determined. With some work, we could find out, was she married, does she have a ksuba, was there a get, and so on. What's her story? But it could be that she's lying, and she's coming with a baby, and she says, I'm a single mother, and really her husband left her, and she had a baby with somebody else. In which case, that she had a child out of wedlock, and that would be a classic mamzer. That's not a suffik mamzer, that's a mamzer. We don't know. Since we don't know the status, maybe that's another reason to have a suffik that perhaps is a mamzer. Diminochri ain't a mamzer. Now, if a woman had a baby with a non-Jew, that's not called a mamzer, right? If she had a baby with a non-Jew, but it could be that she didn't. It could be she had a baby with a Jewish man, with her husband. He ran away, and she never got a get. If it was, that's the suffix. If it was just a woman that had a baby with somebody, and either someone that she wasn't married to, or he wasn't Jewish, in that case, the baby is not a mamzer. V'afkish anoida. Now, even once we know that the woman is actually single, she really is not married, she's really single. Alright, now we've determined that she's single, but still there's another problem. It could be that the one that she had this baby with is Bala Chaisa, meaning who? Meaning her brother-in-law. Bala Chaisa, she has a sister who has a husband. That's also, in other words, the same thing I raised before. There are other people that she might. There are people who are forbidden to her who are arayas, if she had a relationship with one of these people, we once again have a problem of suffik mamzer, right? So we don't know. She has a sister, and the sister has a husband. That's one of the arayas. If she would have had that baby, if she would have become pregnant through her brother-in-law, once again we have this question of mamzeris. And yesh la chayis nesur. If that depends, does she have a married sister or not? Or could be a ben achosa. I mean, these are all relationships where there could be a problem of mamzerus. Im yesh la kreivim ke'elu shenigdulu kvar shiru'i la'olin. And these people would be considered to be, these people are all Isurei Erva, they're all Arayas, and if there would be, if she would be pregnant and she would have a baby through one of them, this baby might be a problem of a mamzer. So then the Rav Moshe continues. Vav kishenoida, let's say we investigated further. And we found that she, Pnuyah, not only she's single, but she's a Shein Lo Achis Nesu, she does not have a married sister. Vloy Ben Ach, U Ben Achis Gedolim, she does not have. She also does not have a nephew, either through her brother or sister, who are old enough, who are already old enough to have slept with her. Right? There are no such relationships that of Arayas that are there. Shalachain havlad kosher. Okay, if she has no such relationships, then there are no Arayas that are there that are alive, or that are maybe they're just little children. Right? So then we would say the vlad, the child, should be kosher. Then the baby is kosher. I mean, there's no suffix mamzeris. There's no doubt as to perhaps this child being illegitimate. Vafshuhu ben hanida. Now, even though the mother was a woman who did not go to the mikveh, which is certainly not uncommon, even by many people who are shomer Shabbos, certainly things have gotten much better over the years, but the mother did not go to the mikveh. That child, therefore, has the status of a ben hanida. It's still that the child is kosher to be married, that you can marry the person. There's only a question regarding whether his midas type is, and how did it affect his personality. But as the Stipler wrote in a law, the Stipler wrote a number of times, a number of letters, that if we see, as the Gemara Chazal say, that if somebody came from a relationship where there was no mikveh, where there was a mother who never went to, who didn't go to the mikveh, so Chazal said that child is predisposed towards certain very negative personality traits. But the Stipler explains it doesn't mean he's doomed to being that way, and therefore we see that if he grew up and he's a mensch and he's a fine person, it means that he was able to overcome those, with his bechira, with his free choice, he was able to overcome a certain negative predisposition that comes from the fact that he's a ben nida. There are a number of children like that. The Gemara discusses, for instance, if a husband and wife hate each other, or they were already discussing divorce, and they had, and she got pregnant in that situation, that they slept together, and even though they were talking about they wanted to give a get. So that's called a ben snua. It means a child who comes from parents who hated each other. Also, is predisposed towards having very negative characteristics and personality traits. So the Stipler explained there's a predisposition, but one can overcome that predisposition. Al pi halacha, nevertheless, one can marry a ben nida. It might not be considered to be the biggest yichus. There's a problem with the yichus, but still, one can marry a ben nida. So Ramesh says, and Ramesh has a famous shuva that everybody went wild with. Ramesh said that if she could show that, if she ever went swimming, if the mother even went swimming without the intention to be tayvel, even without the intention to go to the mikveh, she was a non-religious woman, or she was a woman that was might have been shomer Shabbos, but she didn't go to the mikveh, she wasn't keeping the laws of Taras Mishpacha, but she used to go swimming, even if she went in, of course, with a bathing suit, because the bathing suit is not so tight, so maybe the water went in. She didn't have kavanah, this tefillin yikavah. Ramesh has this shuva, b'mechilas kvodo, he's trying to help out Jews, you know, he wants to help out marriages and so on, but all the poskim really had a hard time with that, what Ramesh is talking about. You know, even if you don't have kavana to... All right, we want to say that even if the mikveh does not require kavana, but here we have a person who certainly had bechalal, it's not... I mean, the classic example of that is you went to a mikveh and you weren't thinking about being matar yourself. You went to the mikveh, you went into the mikveh. But stam, a woman, because once, 25 years ago, she went to the beach, and she went into the ocean, or she went... You know, I mean, it's very hard to say. Anyway, Rav Moshe said it, and it's being popularly used by many people to make the assumption that most of us are not, you know, most people are not in our generation, but they neither because the mothers went to, but then there's another child, you know, you can figure out when the kid was born. So the kid is born a certain time of the year, but the mother was a polar bear or something. I mean, she went into the ocean in January or something. It's really a pellet, the truth from Ramesha. It's hard to believe that Ramesha wrote such a thing, and I don't know. But anyway, it's not the normal way of, it's not the accepted view. Al kolponim, the fact that someone's mother did not go to the mikveh does not condemn the child. The Stipler says one of the poskim who's a big Talmud Chacham, who's in Bar Park with Menashe Klein, he went on the rampage. Now, by him, no one would be allowed to marry a bal tshuva. Only bal tshuva can marry each other, because he says it's mamish a pgam, it's a psul, it's like a blemish on the child, it's a ben nida. So the stipler said, why? Because they're going to have, the children are going to get messed up. And the, I mean, it's a very wild thing. And the stipler said, Chas v'chalil, what are you talking about? Stipler wrote back to him a few letters and said that if you see that the child is a good child and goes to yeshiva and is a fine Jewish, that means that the, whatever negative thing was there, the child was able to work on it, to overcome it. And not he and not the parents are doomed to anything. The stipler wrote about this. But that's cool. That's what a ben nid is. Vavshu ben anid amut l'kahal. A ben nida, the Rav Moshe says, even if the child is a ben nida, the mother never went to the mikveh, that doesn't passel the kid up. The kid can get married. He's mutter to marry any Jewish person. The gamim he bas muteris lekuna, and even if it's a girl, she would be permitted to marry a kohen. Yeah, permitted to marry a kohen. Mikomakom, yesh lesser kishlo yodem mihu aviv umihu imo. Rav Moshe rules that not to allow an adoption when we don't know. If we don't know who is the father or who is the mother. In other words, there's a limitation to adopting a Jewish baby. Now, how do you know that if you don't know the father, you know the mother, how do you know that the kid's Jewish? So there could be some document that indicates that. There could be something that indicates but we have no way of investigating and finding out. It might be there's a Jewish name. That, you know, the kid, there's a name that says, you know, Jacobson or something. But we have no way of determining who are the real parents, who is the father. We don't know either parent, not the father, not the mother. Rav Moshe says you can't do such a thing. Why? He might end up marrying his own sister. Might end up marrying his own half sister, half brother. He could marry his own sister or brother. We don't know who the parents are. According to Lachi, you're not allowed to erase the name of the father. As long as you know who the biological father is, you have to find out. You have to investigate and find out who is the father, or else we're afraid. We're afraid of what? As long as you can find out who the father is, that's what Moshe is saying. Obviously, if we have a child and we can't find the parents, that doesn't mean that the child can never get married or anything. But in terms of adopting a child, we don't know the father or mother. So Moshe says, well, then she'osu l'ashkiach shem ha'em shem yovim yizeh she'isa ach z'achayso b'kan ikla mechash gam l'shem yizeh bito v'simo. He might marry anybody. But tzorchon kol apoch z'yidu etzel echad mi ha'av mi ha'em. Somebody has to know who's the kid's father and who's the kid's mother. Who is the person?
If you have a child that's left on the doorstep, you don't know who the parents are. So for adoption purposes, we'll make sure it's a big problem.
You know, let me get to the question. Let me get to the question. Maybe it's a non-Jewish baby.
Why can't you go home?
Right. So then we might apply the laws of Rome. If you're living in a city where the vast majority, or a neighbor where the vast majority is non-Jewish, so then these are questions that are raised by the poskim. We might assume that the baby is not Jewish.
But you said, for marriage purposes, there would be ways of allowing this child to get married. They're going to have adoption.
Yeah.
If you can allow him to get married, why couldn't you allow, the objection to adopting would be...
Listen to what he says in a second. So he says, so that when it comes time for them to get married, so at least there's somebody that knows who the kid is, so we can find who the parents are. So we can ask, is this young couple, the chasan and kala, they related to each other? The Ramesh says, what does that mean? In a case where there's no way to find out, like on the doorstep, there's no way to find out, it's a Jewish neighbor, there's no way to find out who the parents are, it's nishtaka. So God forbid, it doesn't mean the child can never get married. What Ramesh is talking about is when there is a way to find out, whatever that means, it doesn't mean you have to spend $1 million there. That you must try to find out, or especially if you heard, or in the case of an agency, when they tell you that the parents are alive, the parents are Jewish parents, or the mother's a Jewish mother, then the halacha is, Rav Moshe would say, you cannot adopt the child unless you find out, who is this Jewish mother? Who is she? Or who is the Jewish father? But Rav Moshe says that, however, if there's a baby, where it's nishtakashim ha'avahim, we don't know who the baby is, there's no mother's name, there's no father's name, we have no names. You see, the agencies, or whoever's bringing this baby might have some names. There might be something that we can look into. And then it's a mitzvah to do what? To preserve the name of the family. And to try to keep the yichus. That's the first thing we began with 2 weeks ago. That the Jewish people have tried throughout history to keep careful records of our families, of our yichus, to prevent them from being into marrying, God forbid, families and so on arise. So when I'm able to find out and we have names, it's a mitzvah to try to verify. If we don't have, so the Ramesh says it's the Penish Taka, Shema Aveim, what are you going to do? Shema Makaka Yaiser, then we're not going to assume that any single person in the world might be, then the child will never be able to get married, because we'll assume any Jew in the world might be some relative. We don't assume that. It's only when we have some information we have to follow up with and get it and
but
find
it. Like you're more Mako on a worse situation.
Yeah, it's true. You are more Mako in a worse situation. In other words, a kid that has no identity, we'd be more Mako. If a kid has no identity, but we know the kid's Jewish. Now, how could that be? No, I don't know.
I mean, it was impressed.
What?
The Holocaust. You know he's got
yeah.
Scars, Jewish, he's the kid.
Whatever. Right, can't explain anything, doesn't know what to say anything. Right? Even then, you know, the star didn't always mean that the kid was actually Jewish, because the Nazis used to put on the... They used to put one of the parents was Jewish, right? Even if the father was Jewish, they used to put
it.
A bris, it's hard to say nowadays, because... Nowadays, I don't think it would mean anything. If we don't know who the child is at all, then we're going to talk about that. The misafik, there might be megayer the kid, they might convert the kid just misafik. You know, you convert, you don't know who the kid is. So yes, unless the model of loss, what can you do? If you mutarly certainly know, say that if you don't know, if you have no way of finding out who the parents are, there's nothing you could do. In that case, it would be permitted to marry the child off. Mishum dazlini basaruba. Then we would go by the road. We would go by the majority. Then we go to the majority. You see, if I have names of parents, if I have some information that tells me that these are Jewish parents, then we can no longer say, we can no longer go Basarubah, because we don't have, because we have a suffix that we could verify, that we could clarify. Under those circumstances, I can't say Rari. If I have to go investigate them to clarify whether or not, you know, who the parents are, and to know whether or not they're not marrying any relatives. But in a case where I don't have any idea about anything, so then Ramesh says, you can go Basarubah, you can follow the majority.
With the child of a
penuria,
that the chances are
it
wasn't from an elder situation, it wasn't a mamzeri.
Because then I don't want to get into a whole discussion about that. But then we have the problem of kol kavua kemechza al mechza, which it's a little bit complicated in the details of Raiv. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work because we have a situation where these are known entities and they're in a known place. And so it would be a problem of kol kavua kemechza al mechza, which is a little bit complicated. In this case, the whole world is wide open. We just have a kid. Who are you? I don't know. I don't know who I am. You know, the kid might even know that he's Jewish. You know, you could say Shema Yisrael, he'll finish it. That's what you have with Holocaust kids. That, you know, Rav Herzog, what he did? You know, Rav Herzog Mamish died because he was heartbroken over that. Rav Herzog Adol Shalom was a Goyin Olam. You know, he was the Rav in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Herzog was a Goyin Olam. And he took upon himself to try to get back some of those kids from the... that were taken by non-Jews, and they were all over Europe. They're mamish all over Europe, these kids. So Rav Herzog, what did Rav Herzog used to do? He would go to the convents, and they didn't want to let him in. The churches took a lot of them. They didn't want to let him in. So he got all these papers, and they had their hundreds of kids, and they didn't want to Rav Herzog. They said to Rav Herzog, you have 5 minutes here. Mamish had the Semites. So Rav Herzog came in, and what did he do? He walked into a place that was filled with children, going this, that. He screamed out, Shema Yisrael! And then children started to say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he says, you. And so he brought children out like that. The babies he couldn't, but the little ones, they remembered the Shema Yisrael from when they were a year old, 2 years old. They remembered the Shema Yisrael. But now they were already 5, 6 years old, older. Rav Herzog was going around in the 50s. To try to get these children out. So he screamed at Shema Yisrael, and they said, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he said, these are ours. Driven back. And Rav Herzog would take him to Eretz Yisrael, but then they had fights with the papers, and you know. Nowadays, in our times, there are thousands and thousands of these children who they lost to the Jewish people. Gone. We don't know who they are. Finished. The parents were killed, and they're gone. There were cases of parents, of a parent who survived. They couldn't get their kid out. But they couldn't get their kids back. It was such a maysim. Anyway, what we're going to talk about next week.